discussion of the bill, amendments, and then hopefully we'll get the one or two people we need. So, Senator Higgins, we have House File 2996.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the bill that originally came out of the reentry working group from last interim, and it has been used as the vehicle for the policy language that was contained in House File 1812, the deficit bill. There, I believe, are three sections of the bill that have a financial aspect, and so I think I'll just talk about those three and answer questions on anything else, if that's okay. First, I'd like to thank Senator Foley and his staff for turning around the paperwork so quickly, and I thought a public thank you on that would be in order. Mr. Chair, there are three pieces, looks like four pieces of paper that you have. One of them is actually the summary of what all's in the bill. The first item that is in the bill that has a financial aspect is establishing a certificate of good conduct for people who have been in prison but have come out and have successfully gotten a job, have had no further run-ins with the law, and are looking to move on and still yet finding it hard to find employment, housing, and occupational licensure. The sections of the bill are 3 to 5 and 9 to 11 that talk about the certificate. People who apply for the certificate would pay a $240 fee, which is the same fee that they would pay if they were filing paperwork for an expungement. We assume that about half the people would be in forma pauperis. And so the fiscal note shows that halving of the amount that would ordinarily come in. And then we have an appropriation section in the bill that splits the funds that come in between the district courts and the Department of Public Safety. The second piece that has a financial aspect, a fiscal aspect, is sections 7 and 16. This was a Senator Foley provision in the House File 1812 that authorizes the judicial branch to accept credit cards for fees and payments ordered by the courts, and then to impose a convenience fee for those transactions, much like the rest of state government does. It also provides that the records are not accessible to the general public. And then there's a section 16 is the repealer of the current authority of the courts. Section 12 is the third piece, and that strikes a rider from last year's omnibus public safety funding bill that would require the Board of Public Defense to hire a whole collection of new attorneys and support staff, and directs a specific amount of money for transcript costs. Since it's really likely that we're going to cut their budget this year, we thought that it'd be appropriate that we not have that language anymore requiring them to cut people or to hire people that we can't pay for. So those are the three provisions in the bill that have a fiscal cost, and I'd like your support for the bill.
Okay, do we have questions for Senator Higgins? Senator Foley?
I have an A4 amendment. I think that goes
well, we are still one person short. So do we have questions for Senator Higgins? Please, let's have a couple of questions.
Done such a good job that I heard it yesterday.
It's more early in the morning. What
I'm
can
fully
I say?
Informed.
Mr. Mossman would like to help out.
Mr. Mossman.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm not sure if I'm helping out or adding much, but I was just going to clarify relative to the fiscal note, and you may have said this, the fiscal note, in case anyone is concerned about the net The fiscal note indicates a net general fund impact of $126,000, but if you look at the bill, the appropriations have been reduced to $1.2 million in the appropriations section, so they match the general fund revenues that are expected to come in from the bill. So the bill would be net neutral to the general fund after those two provisions are taken into account.
Senator Thomas.
Senator Higgins or whoever can answer this question. I see in the title here it says something about modifying fireworks provisions. What are we doing there? Is that the wrong bill?
Mr. Chair, that's the House title. The House has a provision in there dealing with fireworks. We don't have that on the Senate
okay.
side.
All right.
I could talk. I'm sorry, that was so succinct.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
What is the provision in the House? Do you know?
I think it's deceiving. It replaces 200 with 500, and beyond that, I think it's the amount. It's the size of the.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see.
It increases the amount of explosives that can be in the fireworks from 200 grams to 500 grams. It makes them louder, more potent, and more annoying to people in my neighborhood.
Right. Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Higgins, I'm sure I don't need to tell you how disturbing this law is in congested areas like Minneapolis, and some people actually use these fireworks. I know this isn't really legal, but who's doing anything about it? They actually use these fireworks as weapons to, harass people.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, and I've also noticed that it now isn't just like the few days around the 4th of July, it's like a month. Mm-hmm. In neighborhoods like mine and yours, it's really annoying. Mm-hmm. And when my constituents call to complain to the police about, all these fireworks going off, they say, call your state senator, which really, really irritates me because I voted against it all the time. And I have a hard time being kind to people when they get that.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Higgins, I voted against it too, but, it does seem to me like if we're going to continue to have this law, maybe at some point in time somebody should think about allowing the local units of government to do a little bit of regulation around it.
That'd be a great bill for next year. You're right.
You should be enforcing the law, then. Not blaming it on us.
Members, apparently what's going on is whatever it's called these days, LCCMR has a major meeting right now, so that's where four people are, which is a good part of people we are missing. So I thought those were very good questions from Senator Berglund and Senator Tomasoni. Do you have another good question, Senator Tomasoni?
We can talk some more about fireworks if we want, but, as long as we're here, because one of the reasons that it seemed appropriate to do legalization of fireworks to me was because up around our lakes, at least, and I would assume around most of the lakes in Minnesota, around the 4th of July, it certainly looks like fireworks are legal, whether or not they are. In fact, right now, the only things that are legal are non-aerial, non-explosive. So anything that's exploding or is up in the air is actually still illegal. And I don't know if that's what they're using for weapons, but that's the illegal stuff that's probably being seen. And I really think we should actually legalize it all because...
Live out in the country.
Well, because what people do is they go over to Wisconsin and they buy it, and Wisconsin gets all the sales tax out of it. And they legally, this is an interesting thing, they legally buy it in Wisconsin. They pay the sales tax in Wisconsin. Wisconsin reaps the sales tax. And then they bring it back into Minnesota where it's now they're being illegal, and then they blow them off illegally. But the interesting part about the Wisconsin law is that Wisconsin residents can't legally buy these. Only people who are residents of other states can buy these in Wisconsin, which is an interesting thing. I don't exactly know how that works. I'm assuming that all the fireworks sales places are along the borders of Wisconsin, not in the intersect parts of Wisconsin.
Senator Tomasoni, that's so you're at least on the fireworks issue, you're right there with Governor Ventura.
Absolutely, yeah.
There was an interesting story about Governor Ventura.
Good Ventura really? Stories.
He had a meeting, I was That's told by three of the four people who were there, with the senior people on crime issues when he was first elected. So that would have been Senator Speer, Senator Kelly, a couple of, I forget who else. And apparently he, in the meeting, they talked about crime issues and what was important and so on. And he made it clear that the single most pressing public safety issue, crime issue, was the legalization of fireworks. So, you and Governor Ventura.
You know, he was on the right side of a lot of issues.
You don't think it's the most important issue, though, public safety.
I haven't carried one of those bills for a long time.
10 years.
Maybe. Mr. Chair.
Tracking you.
Senator Higgins.
I could waste a little time talking a little more about the Certificate of Good Conduct, if you would like me to.
That would be great.
It is a new concept. and it came out of the working group on reentry. What we find is that so many people who come out of prison, who want to start over, still find it really hard for finding housing, finding a job that pays enough to live on and support their families. And then, of course, we've got all those licensure issues. And so we, those of us who've been looking at reentry issues for a while, have been trying to figure out what to do. And this has been used in a few other states. And it would allow people who have, as the summary points out, that can show that they are rehabilitated, that they have been law-abiding, that they are successfully discharged from the sentence. They have been law-abiding for 3 years for most offenses and 5 years for a person who was required to register as a predatory offender. If the crime they were convicted for had to do with alcohol or controlled substances, they have to show that they're not abusing them. And certificates in the interest.
Senator Higgins, if I could just interrupt for a second. Senator Anderson, clearly the most popular person on the committee this morning.
Okay.
We all count to you.
Not as much as she does.
Yep, you're a quorum.
So we have a division report.
All right, so
that's the only reason.
That's not a good signal.
So, all right, let's. I know we're excited by the entry of Senator Anderson, but let's. Okay, so the record should reflect that we now have a quorum. Senator Foley moves adoption of the division report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Now,
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
I should know this, but. These felons that were, and I agree with you, but who do they go to and appeal to, and where do they make their case that they're ready to go back in the workforce? Is that to their?
They go to the district courts, and we say in the bill that if it's possible that the what do you call it, judge?
The sentencing judge
be the person who they appear before, and if that person's not available, then some other judge. We heard from. I was talking to Mr. Stewart from the Public Defenders, and he said that he had a conversation with somebody from William Mitchell Law School, and that their law clinic would be looking for a project like this for their budding lawyers to work with people to get the paperwork all together. And I thought that was a really good thing for them to be looking at.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Higgins, I think you're really on the right track. I mean, people can change and can prove, if they can prove that they have changed, I think you're on the right track. But I didn't know how the appeal process worked, but thank you.
Thank you. We had good support from the county attorneys, the public defenders. Everybody seems to see that this is a good goal to get to, and
we probably
should have done it before.
Okay.
So
Senator Higgins.
I think this, Senator Foley has an amendment that I think we have had before.
Okay, is there an amendment?
Yes.
Which amendment, Senator Foley?
The A4 amendment.
Okay, if we could have that distributed.
It's been distributed.
It's here.
And it's out among the populace.
And small amount. It has been distributed? Okay, Senator Foley, go ahead.
What this is a bill that would eliminate the rider language that was in last year's budget bill, and it was specific to drug courts. And this passes why it would take out the restriction and give the court some more latitude. It's especially important at this time because of the lack of money that they have. So I would move the A4 amendment.
So so we have Senator Foley's amendment in front of us. Would it be the intent then, Senator Higgins, this bill is going separately. Is that correct?
Yes.
So Senator Foley, possibly this will then be reflected in the supplemental finance bill?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Berglund?
Mr. Chairman, I understand what you're trying to do, Senator Foley, and I don't disagree with it, but I'm just wondering if this is the right place for it. It seems like this is something that should be in the budget bill, not in a policy bill. And
Mr. Chairman,
it would seem like it should be offered as a part of the budget negotiations in that conference committee.
Senator Foley?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Berglund, this is a finance bill, and this is a part of that. I don't know where else you would want to put it.
Mr. Chairman,
I was just suggesting that it be in the budget balancing bill, because this is a reduction that is being made in order to give the courts more money to spend on other things. And, you know, I mean, I think one could interpret this otherwise, that there is a surplus in Senator Higgins' bill that somebody could offer an amendment to spend it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
This doesn't take money from the budget. This just takes away the language requiring them to set up new drug courts.
But it also takes away the funding that was provided for that.
But Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, if you look up on page 1.5, we don't reduce the actual number to the courts.
Okay, Mr. Mossman.
Mr. Chair and Member Senator Berglund, exactly right. It just changes the rider, so it changes the allocation of the money and makes the appropriation generally available to the courts to administer rather than specifying that a certain portion of it needs to be spent on drug courts.
Mr. Chairman.
The courts will get the same appropriation amount.
And Mr. Chair,
Senators.
On the bottom of page 11 of the division report, you'll see that we did the same thing with the Board of Public Defense. We had a rider that required them to hire 34 new attorneys and 11 new staff people. and there again, on the main line above it, we don't reduce the amount of money they're getting. We're just striking that requirement because it's likely that they will be cut in the House File 1812, and they won't have the money to actually hire all of these new attorneys and staff people. So I think it's kind of a similar provision that Senator Foley is offering.
Mr. Chairman, in that, I've been advised that it is also in the budget bill, so it's an effort to guarantee that this passes out.
And Senator Berglund, certainly, although I'm not unsympathetic to your comment, this bill obviously has a fiscal impact, has some fiscal impact, although limited in terms of general fund, and I believe you have an amendment. I'm told there's an amendment relative to the fiscal note in the bill.
Mr.
Mr. Chairman, it's already been amended into the.
We did that yesterday.
Vision report. I'm sorry, I was looking at the bill, unfortunately. So we do have some fiscal impact within this bill. Senator Betzel?
No.
I'm sorry. The effective retroactive. Right. We have the A4 amendment as moved by Senator Foley. Is there further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Higgins, I don't know if you have other amendments, but let me ask, just because I was so caught up in do we have a quorum or not, did you make much comment on section? I don't think you said much about section 17. Is that in the, again? I'm looking at the bill. Is that in the division report still? I really should take a block of the division report.
Section 17 of the bill, Mr. Chair.
There is none.
There isn't one of the division report.
Was in the House language. We don't have that.
You don't
in the
have
Senate
that. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm glancing at the division report. So.
Did we have another?
All right. Further.
We can fix per pita?
Mr. Chair.
We can fix it on the floor.
Sir Fishbach.
Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment, although I don't know the number of it. But Mr. Watson might be able to help me out with that.
A3.
Okay, we have the A3 amendment. Let's have that distributed. We've had the amendment distributed, Senator Fishbach.
Mr. Chair and Senator Higgins, you've got a chance to look at this. Actually, this is Senator Gimsey's Senate file, and it passed through your division, I believe, and it's sitting in this committee, but we just thought it would be easier to put it on here. It's pretty simple. It changes the name of the radio board.
Okay, so what does this do, Senator Fishbach?
It changes the name of the radio board from Safety Radio System Planning Committee to Statewide Radio Board.
Yes.
And why would we do that?
Well, okay. Maybe. Actually, what's that?
Sorry, I had three people talking to me all at once.
Senator Higgins? It's
not. I don't know what Senator Fishbach said because there was.
Oh, I said basically it changes the name from Safety Radio System Planning to Statewide Radio Board.
Mr. Chair, I think we all call it the Statewide Radio Board anyway. So.
Okay, is there...
It's less words.
Is there a particular reason we're changing the name just for...
Department of Safety might be able to help. I guess I'm just... Chairman, I had agreed to offer the amendment.
We're not changing the name of the board. We're changing a reference to a board whose name was changed a couple of years ago.
Thank you. Makes so much more sense now.
Very cool.
Why not?
All right. We have Senator Fishbach's amendment in front of us. Further discussion. If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Further amendments or discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, just on Section 1 of the bill and the division report, the effective date, which appears on the top of page 2, you'll see that the only change made by Section 1 is to strike an expiration date of July 1, 2007. But then the effective date of this change is the day following final enactment. And I don't think that necessarily this would revive something. I'm just wondering if that effective date shouldn't be effective retroactively from July 1, 2007.
Senator Higgins?
Sounds fine to me. Makes a lot of sense, actually.
Okay. Do you wish to make that motion, then?
Sure. I'd be happy to. If somebody would tell me what it is I'm amending. This section is retroactive to July.
Mr. Watson, why don't you
Mr. Chairman, the amendment would be page 2, line 4, delete the day following final enactment and insert retroactively from July 31, 2007.
I'll move that.
All right, we have Senator Higgins' motion in front of us. Is there further discussion?
Yes, it says.
Okay. If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Further discussion?
If there's no further discussion, Mr. Chair.
Senator Vickerman.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, I apologize for being late. Was at another meeting. I noticed on the A4 amendment Senator Foley had, I got several calls from my rural district about drug court. Does this mean that we're not going to do any of that, or it's very important down there? We got a lot of meth labs, and they're
trying to understand that.
They want it. I was just wondering what happened. I see it's scratched off here. Is it gone, or?
Mr. Chair and Senator Vickerman, the courts are likely to be cut in the deficiency bill, the House File 1812, and the courts asked that we take this language out because it would give them more flexibility to either expand the drug courts or not start new ones right now because they'll have less money to work with. So it came from them to ask if we could give them this flexibility. Everybody in our division likes drug courts too. I think it's safe to say, and they do good work. And you know, it's just a financial reality, I think.
Mr. Chairman, that's certainly the issue, is that there isn't enough money to cover every part of the bill, and in fact, huge cuts. And I just think the courts do need that latitude, and certainly support that.
All right. Further discussion or amendments?
Mr. Chair, I move that House File 2996 be recommended to pass.
As amended.
As amended.
Okay, on the Higgins motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and let's, we're going to pick up Senator Rest Bill. I don't know how much more work we have to do with it. I hope members will please stay for finishing Senator Rest Bill. Senator Rest. Getting back to Senate File 3190.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members. Yesterday, the committee adopted the delete all amendment, and we have one explanatory or clarifying correction to the fiscal impact. There was the $65,000 in the bill for completing the workers' memorial, but the $37,000 that was related to the transfer of the HAVA funds is already in, I understand from the fiscal staff, is already in the appropriation, so it's not an additional cost in this bill. As I explained yesterday in presenting the bill, this is a I'm not sure it rises to the level of an omnibus bill, but it is certainly an odds and ends bill with regard to provisions in state government policy that were either in House File 1812 on the House side, or they are provisions that the Senate has already passed that are policy provisions, mostly non-controversial, that we are now including in this bill for the purposes of discussing in a conference committee bill. The vehicle is the blood donation bill, which is Senate File 3190. Mr. Chairman, I understand that since yesterday's discussion that there are a couple of technical amendments to make the bill whole that we should adopt, and there may be some substantive ones as well. And I would ask the committee's indulgence on the A5, the A8, the A9, and the A6 amendments. Okay.
Why don't we take a minute and have – would you like to have all those distributed at the same
time?
Sure,
that'd be fine.
Okay, let's just take a minute and distribute the amendments. Why don't you help do that?
One, I can be talking about them.
Well, let's wait until they're distributed.
Okay. We can talk, take them in order.
Okay, do we have the amendments distributed? Almost. Okay, Senator Rust.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The A5 amendment, if I take them in order, is an amendment to the provisions in the bill that deal with Minnesota milestones. And when we were bringing into Senate File 3190 the provisions from your bill that had included Senator Clark's bill, this one section was inadvertently left out. So it's just adding it to make sure that the milestones proposal is complete inside of Senate File 3190.
And this is Senator Clark's
language
which sets up the format for the committee, the subcommittee.
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move to A5.
Okay. Senator Pappas moves adoption of the A5 amendment. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Just a clarification. Which commission is it that must set up this subcommittee? Is it the fiscal responsibility one?
Yes.
The joint?
LC. Yeah. FPP, PFF, whatever.
The Legislative Commission on Planning and Fiscal Policy. Okay, we have the A5 moved by Senator Pappas. Is there further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Rust.
Mr. Chairman, the A6 amendment also needs to be included and is a part of the provisions for Senator Pappas's bill, which are a number of the sections of this bill that deal with her bill on the state commissioner salary cap modifications, and these are as I understand it, it is putting all in one place the positions that would be affected by the provisions of her bill, and I would ask Mr. Watson if there's any additional explanation that needs to be made.
Mr. Watson?
Just cleaning up that area.
Mr. Chairman, it's just a cleanup of some changes that had to be made because the underlying section here, 15A.0815, was amended in the bill as introduced, amending the entire section, striking all the language of subdivisions 3 and 4 and making changes to some of the other subdivisions. But subdivision 2, as you can see on line 1.5, was amended by another bill earlier this session. So that part had to be changed. And in the process of changing the amendment to subdivision 2, the language that would have deleted or repealed or stricken subdivisions 3 and 4 was inadvertently omitted. And the amendment to this section was put toward the back of the bill because it was amending the session law. So this makes it an amendment to the statute as amended by the session law, puts it up in the front of the bill, and then on page 2, line 5, it deletes the section 27, which was amending the session law, and on line 6, it inserts the repealer of those two subdivisions that had supposed to be stricken, and then it corrects the title.
Sir Betzel?
I'm just trying to remember. Mr. Chair.
Sir Betzel?
Mr. Watson, what was the bill that we passed earlier this session that contained this? I'm trying to remember which one that would have been.
My bill. I don't have it.
Senate file 2736, Senator Pappas's bill.
Which was passed? No, something
it's in this committee.
No. Something has already been amended by 2008.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Betzel, I think that was the bill making the change abolishing the Department of Employee Relations.
Mr. Chair,
I'm just curious why there are two that are being deleted, on 129 and 136. I guess maybe that was explained, but I guess I missed it. I'm just wondering why they're being deleted out of here when we're adding so many others, or is it just a shift?
They don't longer exist.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Or they have a different title.
Mr. Olson.
Mr. Chairman, we're deleting it on line 36, but we're putting it back in on line 113, the Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development. So it just got relocated. It was elevated in its significance, apparently.
Do we have further discussion on the A6 amendment?
That's interesting. It's an alphabetical order. Has somebody moved it yet, Mr. Chair?
No.
I will.
Okay, Senator Higgins moves adoption of the A6 amendment. Further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Just something that Senator Olson said that I wanted to clarify. I don't think there's any elevation here. I think they're alphabetical order.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Senator Pappas, but it was repositioning.
It was repositioning.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, then there is the A8 amendment. Ms. Fraser's here from the Secretary of State's office. As I understand it, we have passed the absentee ballot requirements, changes, and the governor has signed that bill. This is a clarification of the which ballot you are permitted to use, not just the state write-in absentee ballot, but you may also use the federal write-in absentee ballot to vote. And so it is clarifying that you may use either one or the other.
Mr. Chair, I'll move this amendment.
It's not controversial.
Senator Higgins moves adoption of the A8 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, then the A9 amendment is on further clarifying that the financial statement requirements for nonprofits, specifically food shelves, that was Senator Rummel's bill, and is making sure that the threshold under which they must report that the in terms of their revenues, that the value of the donated food is not included in their revenue stream if the food donated is there for subsequent distribution at no charge and it is not for resale. If it was for resale, then it would be included in their $350,000 calculation for their stream of revenues. This language corresponds to the improvement of the language in the bill that was made in the House. Things are
terrible. Mr. Chair,
Sorry, Higgins.
I'll move this to.
Senator Higgins,
she moved it.
I moved the amendment.
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear you.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Senator Higgins moves adoption of
the
A9 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes the changes in the bill that were noticed since yesterday that were brought to my attention. There may be others that have additional amendments to the bill.
Senator Betzel, did you look? Okay, I have an amendment. Senator, who would like to chair for a minute?
Frederickson.
Senator Frederickson, okay.
You'd love to.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
If the committee would beg my indulgence, I have.
Short version.
Let's keep the committee in order.
Short version.
The A7 amendment, and maybe as it's being distributed, because it does call for a small appropriation, Mr. Chairman, and I did have a chance to talk to Senator Rest about this as well as Senator Betzold, but I have not had a chance to talk to other committee members. In Senator Rest's bill yesterday, there's an appropriation to complete the workers' memorial. And I can – Senator Medson said I should not talk on at great length, but I can talk about the utilization in a tasteful way of Capitol grounds to memorialize the history of a particular state. And I don't know how many of you have been to – how many state capitals you've been to around the country. I've been to about 40 of them. And, you know, it's a chance to get a sense of the history of – the state, you know, talk to counterparts in other states. So it's kind of a busman's holiday. And one of the things that I've noted is that in many other states, there's more of an attempt to memorialize the individuals who have been most significant in the history of the state than we actually do here in Minnesota. And this goes back, you can tell from the amendment, to 1993, when I was first a finance chairman. My attempt to memorialize Hubert Humphrey, and irrespective of partisan identification, I think it would be safe to say that he would have to be one of the two or three most significant Minnesotans in the history of the state. The effort has been ongoing. There's been a significant amount of private money raised. There still is to be other private money raised, but we're kind of running into a bit of a roadblock to the extent that that generation is, for the most part, deceased, and there still is the need to raise approximately, I want to say, $150,000 to $175,000. I don't think it's appropriate to ask for the rest of it being public dollars. I know in the amendment yesterday, in the language within Senator Rest's bill on the labor memorial, I think that is about almost 90% public dollars. There's some federal dollars in addition to state dollars. This still is certainly significantly public dollars at about 65% with this amendment, but 35% to 40% will be private dollars. So we're working hard. I'll be honest, this thing started, and in working with it, the hope was to have this done while Mrs. Humphrey was still alive. Well, I mean, she passed away 8-9 years ago. So that suggests just some of the difficulty. And you can tell from the amendment that the first appropriation was 93, the second appropriation was 99, was a much smaller appropriation. And I'd hope to stay away from this place in terms of securing additional support. But I would move the amendment and hope members would support it.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, what type of memorial is being planned? And I think of some of the significant people. They're usually kind of they're bronze statues of them. Is that what you're looking
Mr.
at,
Chairman.
Or is it a whole area, or what's the nature of the memorial that is being planned?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, sorry, I serve on the Capitol Area Architectural Board, as does Senator Rest, and typically the Cap Board will do a design competition. And they will have a panel that will review the different, and that can be members from the family, members from the public, members from the Cap Board, other legislators who are interested, who might want to serve on that review panel, and they'll choose a competition, a design then based on the competition.
But Mr. Chairman,
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I would presume that board would still set some parameters, and I guess I'm asking whether is. You know, the way in which significant people in the history have been memorialized has generally been through a statue. Do you set that criteria, or are you looking at something that is as large a territory or area as, say, the workers' memorial that we saw the brochure about yesterday?
Senator Cohen
wanted to speak.
Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas can comment on generally what the Cap Board does. In this particular case, there's already been a design competition, And if you come to my office, in the corner of the office, there's kind of a mock-up. It's a piece of statuary. Senator Pappas can comment better than I can as to the CAP Board's very successful and deserved attempt to make sure that the Capitol grounds don't look cluttered. They have an area for Minnesota, significant Minnesota people, and the intent is to have this placed to the northeast of the Lindbergh statue. So if you can envision, and it'll be similar to that. It'll be about the same size as the Lindbergh statue. It's going to be, it's not going to, you know, take up the Capitol grounds. It's going to be in size and dimension similar to that, with, you know, benches, some inscriptions, and again, the design competition has taken place. There's a firm that's been selected, so that's what it'll look like. And Mr. Chairman, if you'll just let me add another comment on this. I want to make the Cap Board's done a very, very good job of making sure that, again, the Capitol grounds looks presentable, and they're very careful. Again, Senator Pappas can comment better than I can on an approval of a variety of memorials. I don't suggest that we ought to just turn it over for whatever. Having said, I like to go to state capitals. If you go to a place like Virginia, which is just, you know, filled with American history, that's a Capitol grounds that's probably a little bit too cluttered with any number of obscure Civil War generals that have been lost to history. You know, I think if you were to look here in Minnesota, I've actually talked
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, some of us who are daughters of Virginia do not consider the Capitol grounds cluttered with obscure Civil War generals. I beg your pardon,
Mr. Chairman. Let me revisit that comment before I lose the support of Senator Rest. Senator Rest, the Virginia Capitol is striking.
There you go.
You've got the old Senate Room, which is where Robert E. Lee took over the generalship of the Confederacy, preserved. But there are a number of pieces of statutory on the grounds. The comment I was going to make is I think two other people who should be honored with a similar statue who had a significance way beyond the borders of Minnesota would be the Mayo brothers. What they did is worldwide. And I've actually mentioned to a couple of people at Mayo that they should look at doing something like this because I think the Mayo brothers were so significant. But I just think in the context of Minnesota history, national history, world history, Humphrey was quite significant. And again, the intent is not to have some huge expanse. It's going to be placed in a way that's noticeable but not out of place. And hopefully, you know, school kids over the decades will say, you know, who was that guy? And, you know, it's not just a place where they play football.
Mr. Chairman. Here.
Senator Ress.
Mr. Chairman, I do support the amendment, and as the other Senate member on the CAP Board, I think Senator Cohen is quite correct in characterizing how conservative we are with regard to the addition of monuments and or memorials on the Capitol grounds, that they are we do not have a cluttered grounds, and even if you still have the brochure of the Workers' Memorial, that is a depressed area, so that it's going to be set in a wall, in a sense, that is below grade, so that the look from the Capitol and the look up to the Capitol is not obstructed. So, but we still have the opportunity to recognize the past contributions and the current contributions of significant Minnesotans to our life. We don't honor living individuals, but certainly their memories are current and very important to us.
Before I call for a vote on A7, I was going to suggest perhaps some recognition of Governor Stassen's impact on Minnesota. I believe
he has a building.
He was one of the individuals who wrote the charter for the United Nations. Yes. And as Senator Speer educated us, I guess I would say, on the Senate floor, also when Governor Stassen ran for president, he was largely responsible for changing the way we pick presidents, going from the backroom, smoke-filled political bosses deciding who our candidates were going to be to to primaries and more of a popular election.
And Mr. Chairman, if you look at the history, the stats in history, if he had won the Oregon primary in 1948, he quite likely would have been president because the expectation is he would have defeated Dewey for the Republican nomination and would have been a stronger candidate against Harry Truman, who was viewed as somewhat weaker in the 48 election because he ran against Dewey, was able to win. So, but I would, Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that as we think of Minnesotans, Stassen would be one, Humphrey would be one, that we, I mean, if I won't be around, but if the current governor were to become president of the United States at some point in the future, I would argue to future legislatures 10 years after his death that you would look at something like that. But I, in the case of Hubert Humphrey, I do think that there is a significance to him that goes beyond, far beyond the state of Minnesota. And for me, that's kind of my standard. And I, Senator Medicine said I should be a little bit careful about going on about this. But certainly I think utilization for, you know, Humphrey stats, and I suggest the Mayo brothers, would be more appropriate than, say, Christopher Columbus, who had a very limited impact on the state of Minnesota. Although Senator Tomasoni could comment on how we got that statue.
There further discussion on A7.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as long as you brought up my name, and Governor Stassen, he actually is the governor that is responsible for the formation of the IRRRB.
Really?
Yeah. He was
around that long.
Yeah, he was concerned. 1941, he was actually concerned that when the ore ran out, that the economic development and the diversification of the economy was very important on the Iron Range, and he actually was the one who started the agency.
Mr. Chairman, and before we vote, I'll just comment that I'll tell you the discussion I've led about this is just illustrative that these memorials are difficult because what happens is, you know, the CAP Board does have a rule, I think, that you're not to do something until 10 years after the death of someone, and so that those generations disappear. And that's why I'm back here with this amendment. There's still more private money to be raised, but this will move us more quickly toward completion.
Further discussion on the A7 amendment. There being no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of adopting the A7 amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you. And then, Mr. Chairman, I'd move that Senate File 3190 as amended be recommended to pass.
Further discussion on that motion.
Mr. Chairman, I believe it does have to go to rules.
Why? And we refer to rules?
Isn't it a late bill?
No.
It's okay?
No, out of finance.
It's out of finance.
Then fine.
I thought maybe there was some legislative selections. So, Mr. Chairman, I renew my motion.
Senator Cohen has moved that Senate File 31.